Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
How much sleep do you really need to wake up refreshed? And can you store sleep, which is what we'd all like to do, like a battery? Well, my next guest, Professor Andrew Coogan, is a behavioural neuroscientist and director of the Chronobiology Sleep Research Laboratory at Maynooth University. And he says that there's an optimal amount of sleep that we should all be aiming for each night according to our age. And he's here to explain. Questions, by the way, Andrew will take them, 51551. So, Andrew, this optimal amount of sleep according to our age is what? Are the old rules of the 8 hours broken now? Or?
Well, the rules indicate a sort of broader spread. So, for example, adults from about 25 to 65 are recommended to get between 7 and 9 hours sleep. So that's quite a spread within that. And that reflects that we are different, you know. Sleep is an individual trait. So what works for me mightn't necessarily be what's optimal for you. And actually, the guidelines say about an hour on either end, a plus or minus 1 hour, is actually OK as well. So indicating that there is a spread. And it's something I think we worry about a lot. We want people to be mindful of their sleep and to prioritise their sleep and their sleep health, because we know there's lots of benefits of that. But we are mindful as well that we don't want people to become anxious that, oh my God, I'm not getting enough sleep, I'm not getting 9 hours sleep, where for that person, getting 7 or even 6 hours sleep might be OK
fine
for them. And that's what the biology tells us, that there's a, like the great line from The Life of Brian, you know, you're all individuals. We are all individuals, and there is actually quite a spread. So it's a balance in the message. Yes, sleep is important, but if you think you're okay and you don't have a problem, well, then you probably don't have a problem.
And what about that question of storing sleep or catching up at the weekends?
So this is a really hot topic in sleep science and sleep medicine at the moment. It's called catch-up sleep. So this idea that we accumulate a sleep debt, we don't get quite enough sleep during the working week. About 80% of us need an alarm clock to wake up during a working day. And we do that because we're not ready to wake up yet. You know, if our bodies were left to their own devices, we wouldn't be awake. So that sleep debt accumulates. And then maybe at the weekend or on a work free days, we sleep in a little longer and we sort of catch up on some of that deficit that we've accumulated. So the question is, does that catch-up sleep mitigate any detrimental effects of the debt in the first place? And the evidence is sort of up in the air a little about it. At the moment, we're not quite sure. Probably the best thing, if you can get sufficient sleep during the working week, do. That's better than trying to catch up. But if you can catch up, that is probably better than trying to not catch up, if you like, and trying to keep to the same schedule.
Okay, and if you're operating on a deficit for a long period of time, that can have serious health implications.
It can, and it's something, for example, we think a lot about for shift workers who have to work through the night. So the night is actually the part where our biological rhythm is telling us, look guys, we should be asleep. So our concentration, our cognition, they're all at their lowest levels. Our core body temperature is at its lowest level. And shift workers tend to have less sleep when they get home to sleep, especially if they're night workers trying to sleep during the day. And we know that has what we term neurobehavioural consequences. So we know that can be associated with a higher rate of workplace accidents, lower things like work productivity. So that there are a whole load of things in the short term that we want to try to avoid if we can at all.
I have questions for you. Maura wants to know, is it any harm to take melatonin every night?
So melatonin in Ireland is available by prescription under a certain formulation. And that's obviously going to be taken under medical supervision. Melatonin can be very useful. It's not a panacea. I think melatonin in supplements, I would be more sceptical about that. It's uncertain what type of concentration or doses are in it. It's not something we can buy over the counter. So I think if you're using melatonin as a supplement, I think it would be better to maybe talk to your GP and actually get it formalised and get so you know exactly the dose you're taking, when to take it, so it can work best for you.
And then you're getting advice on how long to take it
exactly.
This listener goes to bed exhausted every night. I fall asleep for 30 minutes and wake up. I cannot get back to sleep. My mind is full of thoughts. My head is racing. I try to avoid sleeping during the day. Have you any suggestions?
So that's a classic classic description of something we call rumination, where the mind racing, you're going over all the problems during the day. And that's a classic feature in insomnia and insomnia disorders. Again, if that's an ongoing feature, so it's been going on more than maybe 4 or 5 days a week for more than a month, I think that's worth discussing with your GP, because that's maybe indicative of something we call chronic insomnia. There are behavioral things we can try to do, like widen out that wind down period to sleep. So de-stress, get rid of all those stressing thoughts if you can during the day. I mean, what tends to happen is then we get locked into this anxiety loop. Now I'm awake, I can't get to sleep. And now I'm worried that I can't get to sleep, and I'll be worried about what I'll be like tomorrow. And we've got this vicious cycle. So we want to try to break the vicious cycle. And this thing called cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, that's one of the things that aims to do. It's to break that cycle and to take away those stresses and ruminations and allow the person then to sleep. Because good sleep really begets more good sleep, but bad sleep begets more bad sleep. So we want to switch to the positive cycle versus the negative vicious cycle.
Okay, I have lots more questions for you, but not enough time, unfortunately, Andrew. Somebody who has a habit of snoozing during the day, just a quick one on that.
Are you happy with that? Is a question we're always asked. If you nap during the day and you don't have problems getting to sleep at night, that's probably okay for you.
Okay, all right. But if it's affecting your night's sleep, you might have an issue. Andrew, we'll have you back again. That's Professor Andrew Coogan on Optimal Sleep. That is all we have time for today. Thank you for listening. Today's programme was produced by Niamh Lyons, research by Ciarán Dunn, Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator, and Cara O'Hare was on sound. We're back with you tomorrow at 10, but now it's over to Ronan Collins.